Welcome back, beautiful warrior, to Good Gas Mondays, a brand spanking new episode for you. It's a weekly soul charging session that fuels your mind, body, spirit for the week ahead. We help our community to develop clarity on their goals. What do you want to do and how do you know you want to do it? And the courage to achieve those goals. And of course, prepare for the stressors, building the emotional resilience required to handle them in empowering and emotionally healthy ways. Today I am listening to the sound of rain. As many of you already know, I live in Jamaica, sunny, bright, and hot, and I'm standing in gratitude that it's raining right now. I'm seeing water fall from the sky to nourish the land, to give to the parched earth what it needs to keep growing and flourishing, and I'm grateful for that. It's also happening on a holiday in Jamaica, or Heroes Day is a holiday. And so I'm also looking at what is required of me to continue showing up as a hero for myself. And that's what is guiding this conversation today, that need to show up, to live authentically and bravely and stop playing small. I'm going to share with you a story about how I was winning big and playing small, and somebody had to call me out of that small shell. I'm hoping to be able to do that for you too. If you're playing small, hiding in that shell, light on the bushel, we're going to stop it. But before we get into that conversation, I want to ask you, how are you? Don't give me that surface answer. Oh, I'm fine. I'm doing good. I'm making it work. You know, making good out of bad. No. How are you? How are you feeling when you think about yourself, your capacity, your potential? How are you feeling? Empowered, challenged, anxious, distrusting of yourself? How are you feeling when you think about life, the opportunities, the valleys, the peaks that are waiting for you? Are you anxious and too anxious to move? Are you nervous but excitedly nervous and geared up, ready to go? Are you feeling afraid? When was the last time you actually paused to feel how you're feeling? You have permission to do that right now. How does the gut feel? Butterflies? How does the shoulder and the neck region of your body feel? Tense? Exhale and relax. Why are you carrying that tension? What needs attention to release that tension? How are you? How does your head feel? Tight? Migraineous? I made that word up. Please don't go and Google it. But how does it feel? When you look around you, are your eyes feeling bright, sharp, clear, or dull? Dark even? Blinded by everything that's happening right now? Can you see your path? Even if you can't see it all the way to the end, are you able to see your next step? Yes, no, whatever the answer is, how does that make you feel? Listen, there is no right or wrong answer to any of those questions. I only ask to make sure that you know how you are doing, because you can't heal where you haven't even seen the wound. You can't rejoice where you have not even noticed the abundance. You can't pause if you don't notice the fatigue. You can't charge ahead if you don't recognize the presence of new energy and purpose and passion. So how are you? And give yourself permission to feel that, to answer it honestly. I hope you are doing well. I hope you are healthy. I hope you are strong. But if you are not, I would be glad just to know that you know how you are, because that's the only way you can get to better, if you know where you're starting from. Now, I promise to share with you a story about how I was playing small and had to be called out of the smallness. And before I share the story, I want to share the success seed, and it comes from Marianne Williamson, a very popular excerpt from one of her writings. And it says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are more powerful. Rather, we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I hope you heard the roar of thunder while I read that excerpt from Marianne Williamson. Because I take it to mean the universe is agreeing with me with one of her most powerful natural interventions. Thunder. Yes, to shake the earth beneath us as I remind you of your power and your right to shine your light. Now about that story. So I had just won an international public speaking competition. I was, I think, 18 or 19 years old, and I was in Botswana on the continent of Africa, new world, and a scared little girl who thought that her voice could not match up to the room full of white, bright men and women from Ivy League foreign universities. My small little university, UWI, every time I said it, I had to explain what the UWI meant. I had to tell them where it was. I had to describe, you know, the different program offerings, that I didn't think it was like a boutique university. It's a regional university. And here's where we have all the campuses across different countries. But despite that sense of inadequacy, I also did not believe that my voice deserved to be heard. And when heard among other voices, deserved to be elevated. And I proved myself wrong. Won the World Universities Debate Championships public speaking competition. And when I got back to Jamaica, of course, we're going to have our media rounds. And we're going to have to go into meetings with university top brass. And they're going to all ask me to reflect and share and, you know, talk through the emotions and how I got to do something so novel and magnificent. And I was nervous about that. And my debating coach at the time, Mr. Carlton Lowry, was in conversation with me about what would be required next. And I wasn't ready. I had just won this big competition and I wasn't ready to talk about it. And he said to me, you know, I had done something record-breaking, having been the first woman in the Caribbean and Latin America to win the title. And I said, well, you know, it's not such a big deal. It's not such a big deal. And he looked me in the face and he said, your playing small does not serve the world. Now, at the time, I was not aware of Marianne Williamson's writing, but those words struck somewhere deep in my belly. It's almost as if somebody went inside me, grabbed the giant and said, wake up, now is not the time to sleep. And I felt the fire immediately. I felt it lit in my stomach. And I said, I inhaled and I said, okay. And in saying okay, I was not just saying okay to him, agreeing that me playing small doesn't help anybody in this world. He doesn't know who I was trying to help, but I should know my playing small is helping nobody. I was saying okay to him, but I was always also saying okay to the giant in me that was now awake. And for decades, even today, it would follow me, decade and a half. Can't talk like I'm beyond 31, but it would follow me because I always remember when I feel the fear talking to me, telling me to back down, sit down, stay quiet, don't move. You're not worthy. You're too young. You're too woman. You're too black. You're too poor. You're too not exposed to privilege and aristocratic, circles. And so that makes you undeserving. Every time the fear walks over with its briefcase, opening up the file to tell me all the reasons I don't belong and I shouldn't speak and have my voice heard and acknowledged, your playing small does not serve the world. It's almost like a drum, a heartbeat rhythm that is beating on a drum that wakes up the lioness in me every time. And so I wanted to plant that success seed in you. If you have never heard it, if no one has ever put it in the context of your light and your power, I am taking the opportunity to do that now and gas you up. Your playing small does not serve the world. In fact, it is when you play big, turn the light on and shine brightly that you access your liberation and then stand among others as liberated, inspiring them to do the same. Liberation, light shining, that is what serves the world. But I have to be honest with you, not everybody recognizes that they're playing small. And not everyone will have a Carlton Lowry to call you out and let you know this is small ball. We're going big leagues. Put that ball down. But there are some ways that you can know almost immediately whether or not you're playing big or playing small. And before we get into that, as I always promise to do, I wanted to share some love from our listeners. Leonie left us a comment on our podcast, a review, and I want to read it now before we jump into the three ways to identify if and when you're playing small. She says, "I truly admire your strength and tenacity." Thank you, Leonie. "Your podcast has really provided an added refresher for me to evaluate the things I struggle with. For me, it's inconsistency. When things get tough, I retreat and avoid. Based on all that you have said, avoidance makes it worse. There is a lot I have to do to ensure that during the tough times, I will sail through unscathed by the storms of life. Your messages are filled with life nuggets way beyond your years. You are well-read, resilient, and confident, and you exude professionalism. I also admire your tenacity. I look forward to listening more. I just subscribed, and I am already blessed. Peace and love to you, Leonie." Thank you so much, Leonie. And this is me sending love to you as a listener. Thank you for listening to the episode that lit that fire in your belly to keep sailing through those storms. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for leaving a review. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for leaving us a rating. If you want your comments to be read inside a future episode of Good Gas Mondays, you know all you have to do is give us a rating and a review, and I read everyone. So it's an absolute guarantee that you're going to make it into our episodes as we give back love to our listeners. So peace, love, and light to you, Leonie. May you be empowered by this and every other episode of Good Gas Mondays. So as I promised, three ways that you can tell if you're playing small. If you are about to take up the baby ball and pretend that that's your court, there are three ways that you can know when you're doing that to yourself. It actually gives me gas. We call this Good Gas Mondays. This is bad gas for me, watching people play small. It makes me uncomfortable watching them deny the world of what the world needs, which is their authentic self, their bravest voice, their truest and most bold manifestation. I don't like to see when people are playing small with their energy and refusing to shine their light. And so I want to give some good gas to you to make sure that you don't do that thing that I don't like, that offends the creator who put you here to shine. I want to give you some tools to identify when you're doing it and how to stop doing it. The first clue, hint, that you are playing small is that your work is a mystery. Yeah, I'm pausing for that. Nobody knows what you do. Yeah, nobody has a clue what you do for work. Not because it's some top secret NASA level job that you have that requires, you know, mystique and privacy and secrecy. But it's because you are uncomfortable telling anybody about what you do. Why do your close friends, family members, people in your network and circle not know what you do for work? If it's not something that brings shame in your culture, like sex work, let's be honest, that's something that people would be ashamed to share. But if it's not something that you are ashamed of, why doesn't anyone you know? Why don't enough people know to support you and to become advocates for your work? Why don't they know what you do? Why haven't you given them an opportunity to support you? And even if they're going to criticize you, why haven't you put it on the table? You're playing small if your fear of criticism is causing you to hide your work. You're not speaking passionately about your ideas and your work. You're not seeking any mentorship to grow in that area. You are not marketing. You are not asking for help. You are not looking to broker partnerships. Nobody knows what you do because you're doing none of those things. None of the passionate advocacy around your work. You're playing small. You don't get into the arena by hiding your talent. You get in by showing the talent. People need to see your skill. So challenge yourself to post on your social media platform this week something about your work. Why is your work a mystery? If you're not working in a top secret job and you're not carrying shame about the work that you do, then what is the reason except that you're playing small? That nobody knows you're playing small. It's one thing to be working in silence. It's another thing to be hiding. There's someone out there who is ready to do business with you. If only they knew that you are in business. Give your customers a chance to support you. Give your partners a chance to engage you. Give your friends, family, social networks a chance to support and serve your business, to become advocates for driving new clients your way. There's no reason you have to do this alone and hide as you work. Your work shouldn't be a mystery. A second indication that you are playing small is that you're checking for your invitation. You're waiting on somebody to invite you to the table to eat. And excellence requires that you be hungry. You have to want it. You have to desire it so ravenously that you invite yourself to the table. You have to be hungry. Les Brown is famous for the almost carnivorous way he talks about hungry. But that's how you have to feel. That way you don't wait for an invitation to the table. You pack the knife, the fork, the napkin, and maybe even walk with a chair because you're here to eat. You have to be hungry enough to open your mouth. And that's probably why your business is a secret. Nobody knows what you do because you're not hungry enough to open your mouth. You're still playing small. Closed mouths don't get fed. So you have to open your mouth if you're ready to eat. Instead of waiting politely to be invited, put on your shoes and walk over. Ask what's going on here. Get an understanding of what's happening in the space. Ask, how can I serve here? Offer up that talent and that skill. Volunteer. Participate. If you see what you want, if you see a space you want to step into and occupy, put those shoes on, the big girl shoes, the big boy shoes, and walk into it. Stop playing small. Initiate the law of attraction with action. Yes, you're going to have to use the words to affirm, but apply some action to initiate that law of attraction. Advance towards the goal like a lion that's moving towards its prey. Move. You have to be hungry. The fear of losing the prey that you are pursuing should not prevent you from pursuing the prey. In fact, you should be so afraid of starving that it drives you to action. You should be so afraid of an empty plate that it forces you to be creative and tenacious and disciplined and consistent. What is lost when you sit quietly waiting to be invited to eat? That should shake you up and cause you to move. But if you're thinking about those things and still not moving, it's perhaps evidence that you've decided to play small, to take the morsels, the scraps, the what's left, what nobody wants, the crumbs, and convince yourself that you're full when you really wanted a bigger slice of that steak / lettuce, right? Because not everybody's eating meat. But it's sometimes evidence that you're playing small if you're taking the crumbs and telling yourself that you're full when you really wanted the whole cake, or at least a proper slice. Stop waiting for your invitation. Get hungry, put the shoes on, and get on the hunt. A third sign that you are playing small is that you're saying yes to things that are not aligned because you want to please other people. Now, you have to know when something is not aligned. Clarity on your own principles and the foundations on which you want to build will help you to know when something is not aligned. So if you don't have initial clarity, you won't even recognize that what you're saying yes to does not align to what you would like to build, the destination you're trying to arrive at. So that's the first prerequisite if you're going to recognize that you're giving away your yeses to the people and the things that don't deserve them or are not aligned. But you know too, because you're refusing to prioritize your passions and your work, filling up your calendar and your day-to-day hours with everybody else's business except your own. Every time you do that, you're telling yourself in a very clear, conscious and definitive way that what you want does not matter. What you want is not important enough because you're saying yes to the things that don't matter and putting what would really matter to the back, filing it away in a dusty cabinet in your consciousness, you are telling yourself that you don't matter. And people who believe that their work does not matter naturally show up small, because you've already, through constant religious rejection of your work and the prioritizing of other people's work and other people's business and other people's comfort and other people's joy, other people liking you, all of those things you put in front of your work, you small up your own thing. And so you must show up small, because you constantly present your work, your passion, as inconsequential. We have to stop that. And the best way to interrupt that pattern is to begin by putting a lot of no's in your conversation. If you're someone who is usually religiously the yes man or the yes woman, it's going to get uncomfortable when you start using up the no's, because that's not a language people knew you knew. They didn't know you had that in your vocabulary. So they're going to look at you strange. You're going to insist that really you meant to say yes. So they're going to press until they get a yes. So you have to get proficient in saying no. And here are three ways to do that. Delay giving a response. Somebody asks you a question, asks you to commit time and resources to something. Tell them you will check your calendar. You don't have knowledge of what you're going to be doing the next X number of hours or days sitting at the front of your brain. You're going to have to check your calendar. So ask them to give you an hour to get back to them. Ask them to give you 2 days. Ask them to give you a week if you need to. But delay giving them a response in the moment. Because if you love to please people, can't stand the look on their face when they're disappointed by the no, in the moment, if you should answer, you're going to say yes. And remember what we said, we're not going to say yes to make other people comfortable while telling ourselves and our plans and our work that it's not important, it doesn't matter. So you're going to delay. Let me get back to you. Let me check my calendar. Give me an hour. I'll review this and respond. Preoccupied with something right now, so let me check and then respond to you. Delay the no. You probably know you're going to give them the no, but you need to breathe in some more courage and bravery. Probably you need to come up with 2 reasons, because you are not the kind of person who can allow your no to be a sentence. That's okay. We all start somewhere. Some of us are at the level where when we say no, it's a full sentence. But if you're not there yet, give yourself the advantage of time and space to pull away from the request store. Look at the request to see if this is something that you would actually want to commit your time with. And if the answer is no, pick up the phone and call them. I checked my calendar. Don't have the time to do this, unfortunately. Thanks for thinking of me. But my priorities, the way my priorities are set up, you see, I actually can't prioritize this right now. If I were to take this on, I would have to deprioritize some important projects, and I can't take this on right now. You can also, as a second strategy, propose more suitable terms. So someone wants you to do something by this weekend. How about I do it by month end? Someone needs your response ASAP. How about I review that email by Friday? Give me until Friday to give you a response. So it's still a no, because they don't get it immediately as they would want it. But it's a yes to your work. Yes to how you've organized your day. Yes to the plans that you have. And once you've conquered those plans and enjoyed the space that you created in your calendar for rest, then you can go and look at the request. So it's not a no, I'm never going to do it. It's a no, not on these terms, but I'm going to present you with some more suitable terms. And then a final way to do it is to offer an alternative. Maybe you're not the best person to do it. You're the best person to ask, because you always say yes, but it does not mean you're the best person to do it. There have been times when I've been invited, asked to do certain things, make presentations, host certain events, deliver speeches, deliver trainings and workshops. I recognize when I'm not the best person to do it. And instead of saying yes and then causing myself to have to take back time from other events that I've organized or plans that I've made so I can prepare to do a thing that I'm not naturally proficient at, just so I didn't have to say no. Every time I do that, I feel stressed. I don't deliver at my optimum, because this is not my zone of genius, excellence, or my highest good. So I've learned to say no and offer an alternative. I have a wide enough network. I'd be recommending my good girlfriends, my good male friends as well, for some of these asks. So it's not that it's pungent and repulsive and I don't want to touch it. It's, I'm not the best person to do that. And I'm okay accepting that there's someone better. Gonna check if they're available. Gonna check if they're okay with me sharing their phone number or email. And I do check. And if the person says yes, I come back and share that with the requestor. Link up this person. They are better able to serve in this capacity. Learn to say no. Remember, Marianne Williamson told us, your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, or fear of people judging our work, or fear of people rejecting us from the spaces we want to occupy, or a fear of people not liking us anymore when we stop saying yes to every request. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Beautiful one, I want to remind you on this beautiful Monday, you can be your own hero by standing up for yourself, your talent, your time, your work, saying no when you have to, sharing passionately about what you do and not hiding for fear of judgment and criticism. Sometimes you have to knock at the door. Sometimes you have to fashion your own key, open it, bring your chair, sit at the table because you are hungry. Sometimes that is what's required to shine your light. And you always have divine permission, if not a divine duty, to let your light shine. So shine bright like a diamond, beautiful warrior. And that will do it for this episode of Good Gas Mondays. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am so happy you found us in this corner of the internet. I don't know how you did it, but you made it over here and we are happy to have you. And if you are a returning member of our Gladiator community, thank you so much for rocking with us and helping to keep our show on the charts. It's because of you. You listen to it, you share it, you comment, you give us the reviews, you share it on your social media, and you invite other people to join our community and be blessed by our content. And we get rewarded for that by being ranked on the charts. And that's just so amazing. I'm very, very grateful for every member of our Good Gas Mondays community. So before you leave, I want to ask you a quick favor. It's going to take you 30 seconds. If you are fueled by our conversations, I'm asking you to give us a rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. And if you're feeling very charitable, you can also drop us a comment. Yes, review the podcast. It helps Apple, Google, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you're listening to the podcast, to know that this is good stuff. And it ensures that more people will know we exist and they can join us over here in this corner of light. I'm also always happy to read those reviews inside our episode. So if you write a review, it's a guarantee we're going to read it in a future episode. I say thank you in advance for that. And please share this episode with anyone you know who could be blessed and empowered by what we discussed today. Take good care, and I'll see you again on Monday for another episode of Good Gas Mondays. Blessings.